The story I'm going to tell you is true. It takes place in a part of the world where it is common for pastors' wives to have a choir. And on this particular Sabbath, this pastor's wife and her choir are traveling. Apparently, they were traveling some distance, needed to stop. I don't know if they had rented a bus or something like that to transport them, but they stop at one of these roadside stops, you know, maybe like we would say like a Love's out here or a Pilot, kind of like a truck stop type place. They had stopped in this country. And as she's making her way, you know, they always bury the bathroom in the back of the store, so you got to walk past everything. And she spies something she really wants. Did I say she really wants it? No, she really, really wants it. And since she's traveling, she knows she's not going to be by this place anytime soon again. So she's got the quandary. She's going, it's Sabbath. We want to honor the Sabbath, so we're not going to buy and sell on Sabbath. And so she's like, well, how am I going to get this thing that I really, really want? So she prays about it. And she believes that God gives her the answer. She just took it. Therefore, she wasn't buying on Sabbath, right? And some of you are going, wait a second. What about the commandment about not stealing? And the reason why I tell this story is because we sometimes get to the place where we keep Sabbath in a very narrow sense and then violate it in other ways, kind of like this pastor's wife did. And here's what I mean by this, and that is we spend a lot of time talking about Sabbath. And if I was to say Sabbath as far as our evangelism, what do we do with Sabbath and evangelism? We spend a lot of time talking about what day is the Sabbath. In fact, when we had the Adventist, the ABC here, the Adventist Book Center, if you walked in there, you can find all kinds of books on Sabbath. Which day is the Sabbath? And we say it's not Sunday, we say it's Saturday. But what you don't find a lot of is, once you get the Sabbath, what are you going to do with it? It's kind of like a dog chasing a car, right? Have you ever thought about what the dog was going to do with the car once they caught it? Dogs probably haven't even thought about that. But we need to talk a little bit about, what do you do with the Sabbath once we actually, a person gets what day it is? We need to talk about then, well, what do you do with the Sabbath then? So come with me to our passage of study. We're going to look at a familiar passage. Some of you already know this passage. It's a scripture reading, but I want you to dig into it because I want you to see some stuff in this passage, Hebrews chapter 4. So if you would open your Bibles with me, and I'm going to share with you the cheat sheet for this passage. The writer of Hebrews is talking about what salvation, the gift of salvation, is about. And they use as an illustration of this wonderful gift of salvation, the Sabbath. And by the way, I believe that is an example of why they were keeping Sabbath back then too. Otherwise, this illustration would have made no sense to the people that they are writing to. So here's our challenge this morning: to understand this illustration that the writer of Hebrews is using. You and I have to understand what the writer of Hebrews is actually meaning when they talk about a Sabbath rest. And that's where we're going to be spending our time today. So I want you to listen for these words real fast. I'm going to reread a portion of Hebrews chapter 4 and 6, and I want you to listen for the word rest. That's our word for this morning, rest. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And again, in a passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. And it still remains that some will enter that rest, those who formerly had the gospel preached to them but did not go in because of their disobedience. Okay, you heard the word. We said it several times, rest. But here's the problem with that. Keep in mind, the writer of Hebrews is writing in Greek, but they're writing to Jewish audience, right? Hebrews. And so you got to understand the Jewish concept of rest. And so with that, I want to pick up this word in the Hebrew with the concept they have in the back of their minds when they hear the word rest. So, nuach, nuach. So I want you to say it with me, nuach, nuach. Okay, now you got to tweak it a little bit. In English, we don't do gutturals well. Hebrew, it's like German. You got to have a guttural. It's the back of your throat. It's breathy. Do not turn to the person next to you because you're almost spitting on them. So it's a very breathy K sound coming from the back of your throat. Nuach. No, okay, there you go. No more spitting. All right, nuach. Okay, here's the challenge we have with nuach. We almost always translate it as rest in the Bible. The vast majority of time is rest, but it means so much more. It's meaning things like serenity, and yes, rest, peace, tranquility, security, quiet. But if you notice in English, we don't do verbs with those words too much. And so when it says, talking about Sabbath and rested on the Sabbath, well, like, for instance, you're familiar with Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he nuach on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, I want you to take those definitions that we just had a moment ago, not just rest. God's at peace on the seventh day. God's serene on the seventh day. Tranquil on the seventh day. And you're starting to pick up, this is a very, very rich word that when we translate just as rest, it sounds like God took a nap on the seventh day. No, it's a very deep concept that I want you to understand because it's going to be important for us to understand as we apply it in a few moments. If you want a really great book on the Sabbath, some of you maybe have read it by Abraham Joshua Heschel. And it goes by the same title, The Sabbath. And this is how he describes nuach. He says, it's a state in which there is no strife, no fear, no distrust. Synonymous with the state of life in the world to come. What's he talking about? He's saying, Sabbath nuach is a little taste of heaven, right? It says tranquility, this great emotional place to be. But it's not just emotional. We're saying peace, physically at peace. There's a place where we used to live in Pleasant Hill. And this ice cream place, they would have exotic flavors. Now, in Roseville, where I live, we have Handles. You know, there's some great ice cream there, too. But this place had flavors from around the world, even the Philippines, Africa, India, I mean, South America. It was exotic ice cream flavors. Now, I will confess, I am a banana ice cream aficionado. Okay, I know it sounds weird, but I love good banana ice cream. Partially because my grandparents would make it homemade. It's like ever since you've had homemade banana ice cream, you can't go back. But there are some places that make a pretty decent one. And this place would make a good banana ice cream. It's like the first time I went in, I'm like, is it going to be worth me buying a whole cone of this ice cream? And you know what you do? You get that little taster spoon. And then you let that ice cream dance on your taste buds for a few moments, and you know what's in your head after that. Your mind is going from that little taster spoon to the waffle cone you're going to have in a few moments, right? That's what Sabbath nuach is. Sabbath nuach is us, a little taster spoon waiting to experience heaven. Sabbath nuach, so much more than just simply rest, like a nap. It's a huge word, which begs the question, have you experienced Sabbath nuach? What's your Sabbath like? Is your Sabbath a little taster of heaven? See, if a well-meaning Christian friend was to come up to me and to say, Jim, you know Sabbath is done away with, it's Sunday. You know what one of my responses would be? I would say, you can't take my Sabbath nuach. And I would tell them about how great Sabbath nuach is and see if they didn't want to experience that too. All right. I've given you the Sabbath, the biblical framework of Sabbath nuach. I want to talk about the scientific background for Sabbath nuach. You see, one of the big challenges you and I have is what Richard Swenson in his book Margins talks about. He says, no one in the history of mankind has ever had to live with the number and intensity of stressors we have acting upon us today. Think about that. Think about the stress that you and I have impacting us today. It's a lot. It's tremendous. We could spend the next while talking about the different stress polls they've been doing, and it bears it out. Seems like year after year, people are experiencing seemingly record stress levels. Put that on pause for a second. And let me ask you this question. What is the most important thing for a Christian to do? What's the most important thing for a Christian to do? Think about it. I've heard some people say, well, it's I need to do evangelism. I need to do service, do these different things. But let me ask you this question. Let me give you a hint. What is the issue with the three angels? What did Eve get wrong in the Garden of Eden? If we come back to the three angels, it starts with worship. Our highest calling is worship. And to call others into worship with us to worship God. That's our highest calling. So, here's the scientific reason that Sabbath nuach is so important. Because if worship is our highest calling, guess what the problem is? Stress is to worship as kryptonite is to Superman. Stress is to worship as kryptonite is to Superman. What does kryptonite do to Superman? Makes him powerless. Stress does the same thing to worship. See, you can show up at church, but if you're stressed out of your mind, the lights are on, but nobody's home when it comes to worship. We'll talk about this in a second. And here's what I believe the biggest challenge is. I think the biggest challenge is that Satan is only too happy to have us not pay attention to stress in worship. Stress, I believe, is Satan's stealth weapon in the great controversy. Because if we know what the great controversy is about, it's like, are we going to worship God? Or are we going to fall for false worship? And Satan doesn't care. He's like, you know what? I'm happy for them to show up at church if they're so stressed, they're not, and they're checked out. And so if we are serious about the great controversy, we have got to be serious about what's impacting our worship. And that's where stress comes in and intersects with Sabbath nuach. I think the big challenge that we have that we've got to pay attention to along with this is that we have dumbed down the concept of worship to, if I just show up at church, sang a few songs, we prayed, I listened to a sermon, I worshiped. Worship's never been easy. If you know anything about the Old Testament, if you know the Jews always were struggling with worship, worshiping the wrong thing, not worshiping at all, we know that worship has never been easy. And why is that? Because it is a spiritual warfare. The devil doesn't want us to worship. That's why it is the issue with the three angels' message. And if we take a simple concept of, I just went to church, therefore I must have worshiped. In fact, we'll even say, I worshiped at church today. We just kind of use it as almost synonymous with attendance. It is not. And we've got to be serious about Satan's stealth weapon against worship. That is stress. So, let's get a bit more background here. How would you describe the ideal worship atmosphere? Well, Jeffrey and Renata Cain say this. They say making maximum connections in the brain requires a state we describe as relaxed alertness. This is a combination of low threat and high challenge. So think of this, a profound moment, Sabbath school, when your mind's firing, you're making connections, and you're going, wow, God is amazing. That's relaxed alertness. That's making those connections in your mind. When your mind is going, wow, God is awesome. That's the place. That's when worship is happening. When we're just kind of sitting there, kind of checked out, maybe on our phones, whatever, it's not worship. You may be present physically, but worship is not happening. So, is there any former Navy personnel here in the room? So, I'm going to ask you, what are we looking at here? It's kind of dark, but if you pay attention, it's the simulated view that a Navy pilot would see as they're trying to land on an aircraft carrier. One of the acknowledged most stressful things a person can do. And they say that a pilot's IQ at this point is that of a hamster. That if you were to ask them their parent, their mother's name, they probably can't tell you. That's how much stress they're under. This is what stress does to your brain, is it starts taking it down. Your prefrontal cortex, where all this thinking, this worship is happening, is starting to shut down on you. In fact, this is what your prefrontal cortex looks like when you're at rest. So if you look at this, this is at rest. This is worship. So we need this. We need Sabbath Nuoc to help us to be at this place so we can get to this place where the prefrontal cortex is firing. That's what worship looks like. And that's why stress is so bad for worship, because it shuts down your prefrontal cortex, your intellectual insight, we call it the worship center of the brain. And that's why I think it's so fascinating when we say the seal of God is in the forehead. I'm wondering if science is just catching up to the Bible. We could spend some more time talking about this, chasing it, but I'm wondering if it's because the people who get the mark of the beast are ones who just can't experience Sabbath Nuoc and take a moment for real worship. Let's continue down science lane for a moment. I want to introduce you to another term. And that term we have referenced here a second ago. We talked about it. The pilot, when their brain starts becoming a hamster and that's just muscle memory getting them onto the ship, they've just practiced that hundreds of times, maybe thousands. So it's muscle memory, not intellectual. So downshifting, just like when you downshift your car, it's this. It says, when we downshift, our responses become more automatic and limited. We're less able to access all that we know or see, what is really there. Our ability to consider subtle environmental and internal cues is reduced. We seem less able to engage in complex intellectual tasks, those requiring creativity and ability to engage in open-ended thinking and questioning. Let me give you an example of downshifted. Test anxiety. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation. I remember I had somebody do a hit and run on me. I like cars. I'm good at identifying cars. And when the police officer was there and he's saying, okay, what was the make and model of the car? Now I can say it was a white Crown Victoria. But I remember my mind trying to get it out because I'm under stress of just having been hit. And I'm struggling to get out white Crown Ford Victoria. And you're going, but that's what downshifting is. And that's what stress does to our brains. And that's why it is so impactful upon worship. And that's why, you know, when you're in your shower and you're going, man, my brain, you're getting all these great insights. And maybe you're thinking, you know, when I was back, I should have said this. And you have all these great comebacks. You ever been in a shower and never had that experience? And you, why is that? Because that is a relaxed alertness. You're feeling good. The water feels good. Your brain's firing. Now, we can't do showers in church, but we still can create in church Sabbath Nuoc to have that relaxed alertness to where we come in here and we say, this is about worship. I love this passage David wrote, Psalm 8:3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. That's worship. Because David is in awe of God. He's going, wow. That word consider, you know, his prefrontal cortex is firing. And he's worshiping. So now you can see how stress, because it creates a downshifted brain, is the enemy of worship. Because we've got to engage our minds. And now that we have this in the back of our minds now, I want to shift the framework and let's make some application. Some application to what we're doing now. Nehemiah 13. We'll just update the year. When evening shadows fell on the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be shut and not opened until the Sabbath is over. I stationed some of my own men at the gates so that no load could be carried in on the Sabbath day. And it looks like somebody actually took my brick away. You gotta grab it for me. Thank you. Here's the big challenge we have. In our minds, we don't carry loads, work physically like they did back in Nehemiah's day. But in our day, our loads more like are mental. Thank you. We carry mental loads around with us. Because most of us are not sitting behind a plow. We're sitting behind a computer. We're sitting behind something where we're using our minds. And so we carry around these mental loads with us all the time. And the big challenge that you and I have is on Sabbath, can we lay down these mental loads so that we can worship? Focus on what is most important in this moment. So with that in mind, we need to learn how to unplug from those mental strains that are before us. Internal Facebook research. A former Facebook AI researcher says he and his team conducted study after study confirming that the same basic idea, models that maximize engagement, increase polarization. Regardless of the issue, the models learn to feed users increasing the extreme viewpoints. Over time, they measurably became more polarized. Let me ask you, do you think that's helping Sabbath Nuoc? You know, when you get on there, and maybe you guys have friends who don't post crazy stuff on Facebook. I'm still looking to make sure all my friends don't, but I have those friends. And that's probably the reason why I don't get on Facebook much at all, especially on Sabbath, because it's not that I don't want to see what my friends are doing, because some of them can't help themselves. They're going to put something on there that's going to suddenly send me off another direction, because Facebook algorithms are saying, you know what, we want you to stay engaged, so we're going to make sure that you see the most extreme stuff. And that's why I think in plugging on Sabbath becomes more important. And especially with teens. We know about teen anxiety. I'm not going to spend the rest of the time talking about teen anxiety, but I think it's important for teens also to experience unplugging on Sabbath as well. And this is actually a real thing. It's actually a Jewish group. It's not an Adventist group, but they encourage people to unplug on Sabbaths so that you can focus on the most important thing. And one of these people said, to hear God's voice. And I'm going to add to that, to better enrich my Sabbath nuach. To let things go so that we can focus on what is most important. And this brings me to another point this morning. Most of our concept of Sabbath is about me. And can I say, if we're not careful, we can sound a little bit narcissistic. If I put it bluntly, I really appreciate my Sabbath, but it's like I really don't care about yours. And that's how sometimes we act. When, if we remember the key concept of Sabbath nuach, half the passages in the Old Testament are talking about dispensing Sabbath nuach to those around us. I want to be concerned about my Sabbath nuach. I need to be concerned about your Sabbath nuach. Because if worshiping God is the most important, I want to invite you to worship as well. And to make sure that you are in that same state and experiencing Sabbath nuach. Check this out. It's not just humans that are supposed to get Sabbath nuach. It's even animals. 6 days. Do your work, but on the seventh day, do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may nuach, and so that the slave born in your whole household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. I'm going to challenge us with our 21st century view of just about me and to say, can it be about us making sure others are experiencing Sabbath nuach as well? One of the most upside-down things in history was Stalin during World War II. He has this great aircraft designer, Andrei Tupolev, goes and has him arrested on trumped-up charges, and then says, and puts him in a work camp, and says, now I want you to design great aircraft. Now, I don't know about you, but I think more of Boeing. If you've been to the original Boeing Museum, where they have great pictures of the Cascade Mountains, looking over the bay there, at a big drawing desk. That's what I think a great aircraft design place should look like, not a work camp. Because why? It's a downshift environment. It's not going to be a good place for you to work. But here's the challenge. We have a lot of churches that think like Stalin. When you come to church, start shaking a finger. That's not helping nuach. Criticism, things like that. And then when we do evangelism and we wonder why people leave, if we have an atmosphere in church that is not helpful to nuach, we should not be shocked when people leave. It's like fishing, doing evangelism with poor nuach is like fishing with a hole in your net. I want to give you a couple of quick examples. You could already probably guess these things that hurt nuach. Mean, critical, negative people, controlling people, church conflict, criticism. And by the way, no friends. You know, when you come to church and you're just by yourself, that's not as much fun. And so that is some things for us to keep in mind. Getting to church, intrusive questions. I kid you not on this one. I remember my parents, when they went through divorce, people come to my mom and goes, how's the divorce going? I know. My mom's like, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to worship. poorly run worship services. You know, in this place, you guys are tops in that, but some churches where they kind of like, whatever. You know, noisy children, this is where it gets challenging because we need people to be grace-oriented. We need parents also to work with us, too. It's a combination. But politics, 2020, and we wonder why some people left churches, because we were destroying Newark with all the politics that was coming into churches. Moral fall in the family, we could talk about that. You know, because it's like when the rest of the church is acting like we're all perfect and you're not, that creates stress. Being an outsider. I mentioned a few moments, social media, and introversion. By the way, do you know what the one thing that people hate the most if you're a visitor to a church? Stand up and greet somebody. Now, I'm an extrovert. I love that. You're speaking my language. But if you're an introvert, and when I was doing research on this, I learned all my elders were introverts because they're all like silence, like an AA place. I mean, it's like finally one kind of like timidly raises their hand and basically says, well, I'm an introvert and I stay outside until it's over. We have to be sensitive to the introverts in our church as well. These different things, if we're not careful, go back to my brick illustration. We're handing people bricks. This is manufacturing stress at church. And so when we take away somebody's nuwok and we're not careful, it's kind of like saying, hey, I'd like you to carry this load here at church. And that's why we got to be so, so careful that we're saying we're going to apply Nehemiah to this day and age. We're going to try and take people's loads away from them, not give them a load on Sabbath morning. Because we want, when you come in these gates here on Camellia Avenue, we want you to experience Newark. We want you to have something awesome in this church that you can't find other places. Another issue to keep in mind, sometimes we're tempted because Sabbath we have off. We're just going to jam as much into Sabbath as possible. We're supposed to be slowing down on Sabbath, not just jamming as much into Sabbath and it becomes not a day of rest. Really good book. It's called Adrenaline and Stress by Archibald Hart. And he mentions Sunday, we would say Sabbath. He says, much church activity is unfortunately geared to make us even busier on Sundays or Sabbath. I believe this can be a pitfall. If you're not slowing down significantly on your day of rest, you're going against God's intent as well as courting stress damage. We've got to be careful that we don't create a Sabbath rush in a process creating stress, in a process creating stress impacting our Sabbath nuwok. And if I can be honest with you this morning, I have often struggled as a pastor to worship. I'm leading worship, I'm preaching, but if I'm not intentional, I'm not worshiping. And here's the reason. I've got sermon going through my mind. I've got the worship order. I've got different things around church going through my mind. And I remember several times that when I'm in church, I have to pray and say, Lord, I want to worship today too. And asking God to lower my stress, to help me be present, even though I am leading worship. And there's the irony. You can be a ministry leader and not worship because you got so much going on. You're so focused on what you have to do. And so I'm going to ask you this on behalf of your pastor, your pastors here, that you not give them extra loads on Sabbath. Encourage them to worship. Because so often we go, you know what? and I'm going to be blunt with this one, we're lazy. We see the pastor and go, I don't want to remember to call him on Monday. I'm just going to talk to him now. Hey, pastor, I want to talk to you about the board agenda. Or, pastor, did you see the weeds in the parking lot here? Or the roof needs fixed? And we do this to the pastors all the time, or the head deacon, or a Sabbath school leader. We like to give them bricks because, frankly, we're lazy. If we would just remember, they need Sabbath Nuach too, and we want it to wait. If we don't expect them to get out with the hammer and fix the roof on Sabbath, let's not talk about it on Sabbath. If we don't expect them to drop everything and have the board right now, let's not talk about the agenda. Let's not talk to the head deacon about weeds in the parking lot or the fence that needs to be fixed on Sabbath, because we don't want to give them another load to carry. We want them as worship leaders to be worshiping too, as authentic worship leaders. The Sabbath Nuach, last thought. What is Friday called? Preparation Day in the Bible, right? It takes preparation for us to prepare for Sabbath Nuach. And I want to challenge you, don't try and start when you get to church. Start on Friday. What can you do to make sure that you're going to have Sabbath Nuach on Friday? And on top of that, look for those around you. How can you dispense Sabbath Nuach to those around you? I want to leave you with this illustration, with this story. And the story comes from Andersonville Prison. It was a Confederate prison where they imprisoned Union soldiers. And if you look on there, they say Union soldiers only had, they were so jammed in there. They just had a few square feet to themselves. And of course, the sanitary conditions are non-existent. It would rain and you're mixing everything together. It was awful. You had 13,000 Union soldiers die in Andersonville Prison. Let me put that in context. 13,000, that's a quarter of all the soldiers who died in Vietnam. And this is supposedly after the fighting stopped. They're a prisoner. They're not fighting anymore. And most of them were dying of dysentery, or a good number of them. And here's one of the cruel ironies of history. The cruel ironies of history is that Andersonville actually sits on one of the world's great deposits of kaolin clay. Anybody know what kaolin clay is? I don't see any hands. Kaolin clay helps curb the effects of dysentery. So the irony is these guys are camped in a prison camp, feet above the things that could be helping them with that kaolin clay. And some of you are going, I've never heard of kaolin clay. You know actually its commercial name, kaopectate. That's the commercial name. You and I are sitting on one of God's richest resources with Sabbath Nuach. I want to call you to not only experience Sabbath Nuach for yourself, but to also then to dispense Sabbath Nuach to those around you. And I want to call you to worship. Worship the God who knew since the foundation of this world, when he created Sabbath, that we were going to need in 2026 Sabbath Nuach. Because he knew in advance how crazy things were going to be in 2026. He knew what was going to be happening in your life. And so right now, that God is the God I want to call you to worship. So now, may you experience God's Sabbath Nuach. And may you also dispense God's Sabbath Nuach to those around you.